When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everyone, welcome back into another live edition of the Patriots Beat podcast here on the CLNS Media Network, presented by our wonderful friends over at Prize Picks. It is Brian Hines back with Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub, as always, to get back into all this Patriots draft talk. Happy draft season or month. First of all, it is, you know, April 1st, the worst day on sports Twitter of the year, April Fools, but it is officially draft month. So unfortunately, it was kind of a quiet Patriots news weekend. So we're going to, you know, kind of turn it over for you guys, get some questions. If you want to start putting, you know, any questions you have in the chat, we'll get to them. But we did get a little news, updates from about what their, you know, potential guys that might be looking at about an hour or two ago from Tony Pauline, who said that the J.J. McCarthy hype, we're back to J.J. McCarthy. Said the buzz around the pro day circuit was that the Patriots seemed to really like J.J. McCarthy. He added that general manager Elliot Wolf is pushing hard for McCarthy, believes he has as much upside as any quarterback in this draft class. So smokescreen season in full effect here, or do you kind of buy that we're getting some serious interest in J.J. McCarthy here from the Patriots?
Well, there's a report, if you remember, from The Athletic back during the Senior Bowl that Elliot Wolf wanted to tackle. Elliot Wolf wanted Joe out, right? So, excuse me. You take it all with a grain of salt. I'll just say that if this is the route the Patriots are going to go, Robert Kraft needs to be okay with one or two more bottom 10 of the league seasons, because J.J. McCarthy has to sit at least 1 year. He's not ready. And on top of that, you're not going to have the talent around him where he's going to be able to get you to that contending point. Like, you're going to have a 49ers-type roster. That's going to take multiple years. So Elliot Wolf may like J.J. McCarthy. And what's interesting in there is he said, like, he's trying to convince people, right, to take him. The Patriots have talked about collaboration and the team effort. So maybe Elliot Wolf's alone in that. They'd better be ready for a few more rough years here if they're going to take J.J. McCarthy. And I just don't think anybody in that building has the stomach for it. I don't think anybody in that building should have the stomach for it after the way last year went.
Yeah. So his direct words are he's pushing hard for McCarthy, right? And we heard Mayo say one of the best things he's learned from Alonzo Highsmith in their short time together is that, you know, how important collaboration were, and some of Highsmith's worst draft picks was when, you know, not everyone kind of agreed on everything. And we've heard them, you know, just emphasize collaboration so much. So maybe that is just an Elliot Wolf type of thing. Which, does that surprise you as the guy who, you know, kind of took Baker Mayfield when he was with Cleveland, and maybe J.J. McCarthy kind of fits that quarterback mold that Elliot Wolf kind of likes?
Well, I mean, he's overdrafted bad quarterbacks. So, or he's been part of teams. He wasn't the GM. I won't say he did it, He's been part of teams that overdrafted bad quarterbacks. So yeah, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me. I don't know. Look, people may think I'm like deflecting here or in denial or whatever. If they want to take J.J. McCarthy, fine. Go back to what I wrote in February, that he needs a Jordan Love type of, unless it's the Niners. The Niners are the one team I think he could go to and be successful right away, because
Minnesota, maybe.
The Vikings are the one team he could go, realistic quarterback team, because they're like the Niners is what I was trying to say. They're not quite as good, but you've got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. They got a couple running backs this offseason. The offensive line's good. Like, anywhere else, he needs a Jordan Love type development plan. And does Gerard Mayo have the stomach for what would probably be another 2, 4, 5 to 6 win seasons? And what happens when, you know, he's not ready? Are they going to rush him on the field and ruin the investment? Are they going to stick to it? And Mayo's going to hear the noise about his job, and Kraft's going to hear the noise about selling the team and all that. Do they have the stomach for it? That's what you're signing up for if you draft J.J. McCarthy. You are signing up for a low and slow rebuild, and maybe that's what they want. But I think if that's your plan, J.J. McCarthy's not unique. You can go get a J.J. McCarthy in a future draft probably. And I know I've said, you know, I'm very hesitant about quarterback drafts in the future, you know, don't count on those, but it's kind of a ball. There's two in this draft. There's J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. Like, ball distributing quarterbacks are a little bit easier to find. So if that's their plan, I would rather they just build up the rest of the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, we've talked so much about J.J. McCarthy, but picking him as, you know, your number three pick, as the guy who you want to, like, drive the bus, just that doesn't seem like that's J.J. McCarthy's path. Again, there's a lot of upside, and maybe he maxes out all of that, but seems like he's going to be the type of guy that needs to be in a good, obviously sit at first, and then being a guy who needs to be in a good situation to kind of reach that ceiling. But we'll see with that. So unless you have any last kind of thoughts on that, I'm sure we might get some questions on JJ too, but if you guys want to start putting some more questions in the chat, I see a few already. We will try to get to as many as possible throughout this show. Any draft or, you know, anything else you guys have in mind, we will take it all. So fire away. I did see one right off the bat about, I lost it now. Oh,
well, this one's probably correct. Oh
yeah.
Yeah. All the team officials raving about JJ McCarthy are just Harbaugh in different disguises. There's a conspiracy theory out there that Harbaugh is trying to drive up the price of McCarthy. So he goes, not that he goes fourth, but he goes in the top four, right? Even if he goes ahead of Mayor Daniels. So the Chargers get hand delivered Marvin Harrison Jr. at five. That's the, and I don't think the chance of that are zero. I don't know how high they are, but I also don't think that they're zero.
Yeah. Cause he was saying, like, if four quarterbacks go, then the Chargers basically have the first pick of the draft, right? Because they don't need a quarterback. They get their pick of the litter out of any other, you know, position player they want. So that would be an interesting one there. What would it cost the Patriots to trade up for a late first round pick along with keeping their number three? So that's something we've talked a lot about. We did in our mock draft 2.0, I believe, where you trade up from 34, I think we targeted A.D. Mitchell, maybe Brian Thomas is in that range, or one of these offensive tackles. If you're going just from 34, it depends how far up you want to go. But I think we threw in, what, our fourth round pick, like 103?
Yeah. It depends how high up you want to go. You're going to have to trade 34, and then it's basically, are you trading 68 or 103? Are you trading 68 to get into the 2021-22 range? Or are you trading 103 and then maybe a late day three pick for like 26, 27, 28, something like that?
Yep. What about trading back and then up for J.J. McCarthy? Nope. If you don't want to take him at three.
If you don't want to take him at three, just don't. Just because what's going to happen, you're going to trade back. So where are you going to trade back to? You're going to trade back 11? To what? Six? You trade back to 11. You're not getting back up. You're not getting back up, because if J.J. McCarthy's there at six, the Giants are taking him. So you got to get back to five, basically. And at that point, is it really going to be worth it? Because you're going to have to give up just about everything you got moving down to 11 to get up from 11 to five. The only way that works is maybe you've moved down to five, maybe. But you assume the team you're trading, well, the Chargers won't move up. It's not going to happen. You can't trade back into, it's happened five times in 30 years. It's been 30 years flat since it happened in the top five. For all the bitching and moaning about Bill Belichick being too unorthodox with the draft, he leaves and now everybody wants them to do the biggest wild card move a team can do in the draft, which is trade down for a quarterback. I get it. It's fun. It's cute. You can do all these little things where it works in theory. When you're actually sitting there on draft night, you're on the phone with other teams, you would need a lot of people to do you a lot of favors for something like that to happen. And it's still, again, if J.J. McCarthy's bad, it doesn't matter whether you took him at 3, 6, 11, or 199.
He's bad.
If he's good, if you think he's going to be really good, why are you screwing around with moving down and risking it? Just take him at 3. There's very little incentive. Is the extra second round pick you're going to pick up, is the extra second round pick really worth potentially losing this guy if you think he's that good?
Yeah, that's like, you can't mess around with the quarterback position. If you're convinced that a guy in three, no matter who it is, Like, you don't want to risk.
Right.
Risk
and every losing. Other position is different. This is just like so many things in the NFL that like, because people will say, oh, isn't that what they did with Gonzalez last year? Like, yeah, it's a corner. They were playing B's. Like, if Gonzalez goes, they take Jackson Smith and Jigba probably. And they, you'd still say they had a pretty good draft. If you build your entire offseason around adding a premium quarterback, and you heard Gerard Mayo say this week or last week that quarterback is a priority, and Robert Kraft said he wants, you know, high-end young quarterback. If you build your whole offseason around that, you miss on that guy. Taking a high-level player at another position is not going to is going to completely change the outlook of your offseason. Taking a wide receiver instead of a corner or a tackle instead of a corner in the draft doesn't change the grand scheme as much, because the guy you're getting in the second round is probably still a decent player. The quarterback you get in the second round of this draft is Bo Nix, who's aggressively average and boring. So that, you know, walking away from this draft with J.J. McCarthy and walking away from this draft with Bo Nix, a quarterback, are two very different conversations.
Yep, absolutely. What about a...
Here we can go. Oh, I was just going to say, well, this is kind of... Let's do this first, because it's kind of along the same lines. Trading back into the first and taking Michael Penix. I in theory, wouldn't be against it. And I think this is more likely than the trading down for a quarterback. But Michael Penix, I think teams are starting to figure out what I've been telling you people for months now, that he's a damn good quarterback. And when you get past the knee injuries, he is a top 15 prospect. If you have four quarterbacks going the top six picks, you look at Brian. We've talked about that spot as I pull up the draft order here. We've talked about that kind of run of teams in the teens,
11, 12, 13,
that are all going to need a quarterback, 14. Right? You have Minnesota at 11, Denver at 12, Vegas at 13, the Saints at 14, the Seahawks at 16, the Rams at 19, the Steelers at 20. One of those teams going to panic, say, shoot, it's now or never, move up and get Michael Penix. So
Dolphins,
I like
at
in
21.
Theory, you're probably going to have to move into the teens. And now you're talking about, I think, probably giving up your future first round pick.
Yeah.
Which if you believe in the quarterback that much, maybe you don't need that pick. But I would say, again, if you believe in the quarterback that much, just take him at three. Just take him at three. Don't risk it.
Yeah. I have a hard time seeing, like, Vegas maybe not taking a quarterback.
Right.
And like New Orleans. Yeah. There's a lot of teams kind of in that mix where you could see one of these like getting aggressive and, you know, taking a Michael Penix, even taking a Bo Nix if they fall in love. Just, you know, it's the quarterback tax. That's kind of what you have to do. And after the year Michael Penix had, if the knees check out, like can you blame him in that sense? So sure, like in theory, trading back up for him is great. Like doing that trade we talked about, 34 and a fourth round pick, go get Penix, use the third pick overall on a tackle or Marvin Harrison, but is he going to be there? That's going to be the big question mark. Speaking of, you know, that trade up, what do you think a package for Matthew Judon would look like if they decide to move on from him? If he's not retiring, he's not going to be a horse farmer or whatever he joked about today on social media. But if they did move on from Matthew Judon, which I don't think they're going to do at this point, what are you looking for in a package in return?
I mean, I think Judon's probably worth about the equivalent of a second round pick. So depending on how high you want to move up, I think Judon would replace the top pick in that trade. You still might have to give up a couple more, but I think Judon plus, you know, 103 could maybe get you a late first round pick if it's a contending team that feels like it really needs a pass rush.
Yep. Let's go away from the quarterbacks for a little bit. Any chance number 68 plus a later pick gets you T. Higgins? Maybe after Legarius Sneed went for a third, a future third, that price?
Yeah, I'd say that feels like a possibility. In a bubble, yes, because of the Sneed trade. I wonder if some of those contending teams late in the second round at that point would just kind of offer up a top 60 pick. So it could if he doesn't have a big market. If he does have a big market, now maybe it becomes 34, because originally it was 34 and a pick for Higgins. Maybe it becomes 34 for Higgins and a pick. Maybe it becomes 34 for Higgins and like a fourth round pick. It would depend on his market. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but I don't think it's super likely either, because I think if his market dips that low again, one of the good teams in the late 50s would pull the trigger on that.
Yep. You still doing that, 34?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Two draftable wide receivers. What range is Roman Wilson and Javon Baker going? Who Baker, I believe, is one of those 30-visit guys coming in. So yeah. Someone on their radar. Roman Wilson, Michigan, had a really good Senior Bowl performance. I'd say both of those guys, like late day two, Baker maybe early day three, seems like his kind of range right now.
I think Roman Wilson could get into the top 50. He could get into the second round. If a team's looking specifically for that kind of player. Yeah, Javon Baker, I think just with 1 year of production in this class, he's not that top end athlete. I think he probably, maybe he sneaks in like those few picks that are outside the top 100, but are day two picks. Maybe he sneaks in there. He's one of the first guys off the board on day three.
Yep. Agree with you there. Let's see what else we got.
I'm with this. It's just an interesting point. Don't get a tackler receiver with three. If they can't get a QB at three, get more picks. The way the board's shaken out, I think you could probably get Joe Alt if you move down to six.
Yeah.
So I'm so quarterback or bust at three at this point. I think if you're not taking a quarterback at three, you're trading down.
Yep, me too. Where are you kind of at with this? Where do you think Washington's leaning right now at number two?
I still think it's Daniels. I don't feel nearly as confident as I did about a couple weeks ago, but I still think it's Daniels. He had the comment from Brian Kelly. And again, I just think he's a better fit. He's a better fit with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 50-50 on it. I go back and forth so much, and I don't know. I'm not going to believe one way or another until I hear the name read that night, but I guess yeah. I'll slightly still side with Daniels. I guess for now, but we'll see.
It's definitely more of a coin flip now than it felt like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I think even the betting odds kind of shifted. It's still Daniels as of now. And again, betting odds, take them for what it's worth. Will Levis was projected to the betting favorite to go number two last year for a long time. And he slid to the second round, but it's still Daniels is in the lead, but May kind of caught up to some ground today. So yeah, definitely seems like that race is kind of tightening. Another receiver. Thoughts on Xavier Leggett at 34. Is that too high for him? Someone who really only had 1 year of college production at the position. He transferred or transitioned from quarterback to wide receiver early in his career. So would you take Leggett there at 34 if he's on the board?
I think it depends how the board goes. If they really want a receiver with that pick, I think there's a chance he's the best receiver on the board. We've talked about it. If they're not going to allow hip drop tackling, he's potentially a guy that could make a big difference, but if A.D. Mitchell's on the board, if he falls, if somehow Brian Thomas is on the board, he falls. Like I'd still like that true traditional. I think Leggett's more of a scheme touch player. I'd still like that true traditional X receiver 34 if they can get him. The other thing is if they move back, as we've talked about, if they use 34 to move back, then yeah, you're in prime territory for Xavier Leggett.
Yep. Yeah, I like him as a player, but definitely some guys higher, like you mentioned, A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas, but I'd like him. Like he's in my range of interest, especially at the top of top of the second round there.
I got here. Are there any good tackles taken the third round? No, there really aren't. Not in the sense of year one contributors. There's some project players. Medici from Yale's not a bad player. I think Roger Rosengarten's probably going to end up being a late third round pick, but these are guys that are more high-end project player, maybe year one starters down the road, definitely not year one, day one starters. So if you want to get a starting left tackle, I think you got to take him in the top 50. I think Patrick Paul, who right now is projected to go late 50s, maybe very top of the third round. I think if they get lucky, Patrick Paul's there at 68. That's probably your last chance to get a guy who has a shot at being a year one, week one starting left tackle.
Yep. Yeah, you got to take, for as much as we say it's like a deep, talented tackle class, the day one contributors kind of fall off the board pretty quickly. There are some intriguing, late fifth, sixth round, project players. But if you want a guy who's coming in here and helping your line day one of, OTAs, day one of training camp, you have to take that guy probably at 34, or maybe you get lucky and with how the board shakes out at 68. But yeah, you got to get those guys on the earlier side of things in this class.
Yeah. Here we can, Well, I'll pull this one. This is a quick answer. I think we both feel the same way. If Brian Thomas and AD Mitchell both fall, who are you taking? Yeah, it's Brian Thomas. Give me 2 years of production over one.
Yeah, I have Brian Thomas higher there. But let's take a very...
Oh, sorry, let's get one more wide receiver one. Okay. Could the Pats get a pick in return for Juju? I don't think so. I think they could have if they could have by now, but maybe the Rashee Rice situation in Kansas City makes the Chiefs desperate. That's the one thing I wonder about. I wonder if anybody's going to give you something for him, it's going to be the Chiefs. That's the one team I'd look at. But I don't think they're going to act on that anytime soon. So,
and it'd probably be a pick swap, not just
right
like a straight up seventh round pick. You'd probably have to swap something there. But let's take a very quick timeout, and we will hear from our friends over at Prize Picks, and then we'll be back to answer more of your questions. So keep dropping them in the chat.
Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
All right, so I wanted to go here because we got a little bit of news from Kyle Duggar, I guess, over the weekend. Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald said he's not, you know, Duggar still isn't overly thrilled with, you know, getting the transition tag. And if they did look to trade him, I believe they said that, you know, he maybe could catch a fourth, fifth round draft pick in return. Do you think that's in play here, or this ends up with, you know, Duggar, you know, back on the roster for this upcoming season?
It's tough to say with that transition tag. Kyle Duggar loses a ton of leverage, so putting something out like this may just be a leverage play by him. The Legarius Sneed trade hurts them here because I think if, you know, prior to that, you might be able to get a top 100 pick for Duggar. Now, I mean, he's a defensive back. He's not as good as Sneed, so that drops off. They can afford to trade him. That's where the Patriots have the leverages. We have Jabril Peppers. We have Marte Mapu. Right. You can afford to trade him. It's just a matter of, are they going to trade him for less than he's worth?
Yep. Let's see what else we got.
Thoughts on Ladd McConkey at 34.
I am a big fan of Ladd McConkey. Actually, we're doing all of our draft profiles now, and I wrote my Ladd McConkey one today. So go check that out at Pat's Pulpit. But I think the only concern I have with him is his size, like 6 feet, 185, 186, I think he measured in at. So is he going to hold up? Like he missed some time last year at Georgia, but and is that going to like kind of pigeonhole him to a slot only role? He played more outside than I thought he did looking at his snap counts at Georgia, but is that size going to limit him inside? But just unreal route runner, short area quickness. He ran a 4.39. He's got that breakaway speed. I think he's going to be just like a quarterback's kind of best friend at the next level, catch a bunch of balls. So I'm a big Ladd McConkey fan. Just it's the size. As long as he can hold up, I think he's going to be a really good pro.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a good player. I wouldn't necessarily be mad if they drafted him. But again, I want to see them get the true X receiver. And I just think he's going to be a Z or a slot in the NFL. So if that's the way it falls, but at that point, I would almost go with a tackle and then see if you can get a guy like Ricky Pearsall at 68.
Yep. Well, speaking of Ricky Pearsall, who's better, Roman Wilson or Ricky Pearsall?
What do you want? I mean, I think they're very comparable in terms of like if we were going to grade him out of 100. I think Wilson's a little bit quicker, a little bit better after the catch. I think Pearsall's better at the catch point. Yeah. So what are you, you know, I would like to see the Patriots maybe get a guy more like Pearsall because I think Wilson overlaps a good amount with Pop Douglas, but they're both good players. That's a good question. It's two very comparable players.
Yeah, I like both of them a lot. I think they would lean Pearsall, because, you know, how much have they said, like, toughness? He's a really, like, willing run blocker, and so is Roman Wilson, but Pearsall's got a little bit more size and, you know, that added toughness to him. So I think they might lean Pearsall on that. But, yeah, two really good players. I wouldn't be upset with either of those guys if they found a way to get them.
Yeah, neither would I. What else do we got here? Which running back in the draft is best suited for the zone running game? Ooh, good question. So, the best suited, I mean, we could go to the top and we could go to, like, Blake Corum, but, like, where they're realistically going to take a running back, we'll just do the day three guys. Like, Dylan Laube's up there, but again, I kind of want to see him get a bigger, more physical back. I would look at a guy like Marshawn Lloyd, Isaac Garendo. Those are kind of the guys I have circled for them.
Yeah. I was just going to say, how big did Garendo weigh in at? He's more of a bigger.
He's like 230. He's okay, a big dude. Yeah, he might have been 220, 230, something like that. But he's one of the bigger backs in the draft.
Oh, I have it right here. Garendo, 6'2", 221.
Okay, yeah, so bigger guy. Braylon Allen's in the 230s.
Yeah, Braylon Allen's big back. But yeah, Garendo just like dominated every single athletic testing, the 998 athletic score. So he's definitely kind of a fit in that zone run game. So he'd be an interesting addition to that room there. But
yeah.
What else we got?
How many receivers should the Patriots come out of the draft? I'd say no more than two.
Yeah.
Just because the only way to develop these guys is to get them on the field. And you look at all the guys they brought back. Unless they're going to move on from Juju, move on from Tyquan, you can't draft the guy and just completely sit him. And I mean, like, as far as, like, even significant preseason reps, they just, the numbers don't work. So I'd like to see him come out with two. I think if they come out with one and it's like one high-end guy, maybe like a UDFA, fine. But I think once you get to three, it's overkill. At that point, you're just spamming it and trying to throw shit against the wall, see what sticks. So, one to two. No more.
One early, and then Bub Means, right? That's the ideal path.
20 something at his pro day. He put on like 10 pounds since the combine.
Oh, I saw that.
Figure out what the deal is with that, if it was a mismeasurement or whatever. But yeah, it's a little bit of a red flag, I will admit.
Tyquan Underwood was pumping him up, though. He said, I saw one interview with him and with Tyquan Underwood, and he's like, yeah, I'd love to coach him again if that's how it works. So
yeah,
maybe Bub Means. But
all right, Brian, this one's for you. Thoughts on the kicker situation?
I still don't think they're going to draft one. Maybe they sign that XFL kicker who hit a 64-yard field goal in the opening week the other day. I was joking. I said he's the perfect guy to lose a training camp competition to Chad Ryland. But
right.
I still think after the draft at some point you're going to get one of these veteran options, maybe like someone from the XFL, and you're just going to have a competition and it's best man win. But I'll still be in Chad's corner here until he's not on the roster. So,
yep. This is an interesting one. Does Joe Milton have more value for the Patriots, a scout team TV QB, since they have to play Josh Allen twice a year? I mean, I guess that line of thinking isn't incorrect. I just think he's going to go. You're not going to draft a scout team quarterback where he's going to go. He's going to go in the fourth or fifth round. So it's an interesting line. It's an interesting line of thinking. I don't think it's incorrect. I just don't think the investment it would take to get him would be worth that.
Yeah.
So, but good question.
That's what I was going to pull up this one. Can you see them taking a second quarterback? So maybe not like Joe Milton in like fourth or fifth round, but maybe one of these, you know, Jason Bean, Devin Leary type of guys in, you know, the sixth, seventh round.
Especially if they end up trading down Cousins at some point. Yeah. Yeah. And end up with a bunch of picks. I could definitely see that.
Yep.
So,
What do you think about another wide receiver we haven't talked about a lot? Keon Coleman. And where would you kind of feel comfortable draft? He's probably like,
it's tough.
Probably in that 34 range is where you're going to have to take
right
him.
But. And I just think there's going to be better receivers on the board. If he's there at 68, I take him. He's not going to be there. He's again one of those guys. If you trade down into like the 40s, and he falls a little bit, that's the guy. That's the spot I'd look at him.
Do you have N'Keal flashbacks with him?
A little bit, not as much as some people. I just think he's a better pure wide receiver. That he's not like the scheme touch guy Nikhil was, but I see where that comes from.
Yeah. What else? Let's see. Kind of, I mean, similar thoughts on Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, he's really interesting. I take him at 68. I think his route running for his size makes him a matchup nightmare, but he's kind of the high end of that second wide receiver you draft for me. I don't think you draft him as that wide receiver one and he solves all the problems. He's just too inconsistent. His hands aren't good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, the size and the athletic profile is really intriguing. It's just how's the team going to use him at the next level? That'll be interesting to tell. But let's say if they don't draft a left tackle early, who is lining up there in week one?
I still think it's Chuck Okorafor. Mayo brought him up unprompted last week, and there's been reporting that way. That feels like the plan, for better or worse. I don't love it. I've said my part on that. He hasn't played it since college, but I'm sure it'll be an open competition, and we'll get some reps from Connor McDermott there in camp and some reps from Verdarian Lowe, but I think it's going to end up being Okorafor.
Yeah, I'd say he's the leader in the clubhouse for where it's at right now. But what about if all the receivers are gone, or main receivers are gone? Jatavion Sanders at 34, is that too early?
You got to have a usage plan for him. Like, if their plan is to go too tight end heavy, yes, but I wouldn't just draft a guy to platoon with Hunter Henry at 34. I think you can do better with that pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be more interested in him at 68, I feel, than 34. But starting left tackle, DJ Burns out of NC State.
That thing's wild that NFL teams want to. He's 270 pounds. Like, he's big for basketball, but he's maybe have him drop some weight and play tight end. He's a long way away from being an NFL tackle.
He'd have to put on like 30 to 40 pounds to be
right. Exactly. And then is he still going to move that way?
Yeah. But shout out DJ Burns for saving us from a Purdue Duke Final Four. Yes. That would have been the worst thing of all.
And him and Zach Edey, that's going to be an awesome matchup.
Yeah. DJ Burns already has two fouls off the bus, but.
Right.
Hopefully. Not really a question, but a name we haven't really talked about, Malachi Corley, getting tons of attention, the Yak God.
Yeah, he's so small for what's going to be a physical role. I worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, he is awesome after the catch, but
yeah,
it's it's kind of a tough fit. Amarius Mims, I don't think he's getting to 34.
I don't think he's getting there,
I mean, I would run up that card if he was there. Let's see.
You want to take like one or two more here?
Yeah, we can start wrapping this up.
Somebody said Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Texas. I he's still going to go like top 120. And he's, for those who don't know, he's going to be the top running back in his class, and he tore his ACL late in the season. If he falls to like 137, maybe, but he's not probably seen the field till 2025. I think it makes some sense, but not for where he's going to go.
Yeah. What do you think about Isaiah Bolden? Could he be our cornerback two? I mean, he like
not cornerback two. I think he'll compete for the cornerback three role, but I think they're going to bring in somebody else, or they'll keep Jonathan Jones on the boundary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was really promising, I'd say, in training camp before, the injury, and he's got a good size athletic profile. I think between him and Alex Austin, you have some good options there, but they're young. Maybe, you'd still expect someone else to kind of come in and compete at that spot. But he'll be definitely interesting to watch next, throughout camp and everything. But I want to see anything else. We can wrap this one.
Wrap it up, and we're on to, I think we're doing a trade down mock draft on Thursday, right?
Yep. So we'll be back Thursday. Oops, sorry about that. We'll be back Thursday for mock draft 4.0, where we are going to explore some trade down possibilities. We haven't done that yet, so we'll see what's out there in that department. But thank you all, as always, for tuning in today and sending in all your questions. You can follow Alex in the meantime at Real Alex Barth. Head over to 985thesportshub.com to read his written Patriots coverage, and you can follow me on Twitter at I am Brian Hines, and head over to Pat's Pulpit NFL.com to read my draft coverage over there as well. Thanks again, and we will see you guys on Thursday.
Bye.